This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
I'm Natalia Melman Petrozella, and from the BBC, this is Extreme, Peak Danger.
The most beautiful mountain in the world.
If you die on the mountain, you stay on the mountain.
This is the story of what happened when 11 climbers died on one of the world's deadliest mountains, K2. And of the risks we'll take to feel truly alive.
If I tell all the details, you won't believe it anymore.
Extreme, Peak Danger. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The official timeline, you need to let us know. You need to let us know when we are 5 minutes away so we can bring everybody out.
From the BBC World Service, this is The Documentary, the home of original storytelling. I'm Lee James, and this is Julian Alfred, The Race of My Life. How winning Olympic gold changed the life of a sprinter in her Caribbean island of St. Lucia. When she got to her starting blocks in the pouring rain on the purple track at the Stade de France, no one from her country, St. Lucia, had ever won an Olympic medal of any colour. Just 10.72 seconds later, the Caribbean island had a new hero, and Alfred's life changed completely.
I'm so happy for our country. I'm so happy for Julian Alfred. In fact, we should call today the Julian Alfred Day. If today was not Saturday, who knows? I may have to get a holiday.
Julian Alfred won the women's Olympic 100 metres gold medal. She ran her fastest ever time that night in Paris to upset the world order of women's sprinting. This is the story of how it happened and what her victory has done for a small but mighty island. I'm Lee James, and this is a Sports World special. Julian Alfred, The Race of My Life. Julian, how does it feel to call yourself an Olympic champion?
It still feels surreal, to be quite honest. But nevertheless, St. Lucia has never made me forget who I am and what I did this summer for them.
It must be so nice knowing that all that hard work, all that effort has paid off.
Yes, I mean, so much sacrifices made to get to that point, hard work. So many times I felt like giving up. So many times I felt like maybe I thought wrong, maybe this is not for me. And just to be able to call myself an Olympic champion, it just shows that never giving up on yourself, it really matters. Trusting yourself, trusting your coach as well, and trusting God most importantly, it goes a long way.
Well, the 3rd of August, 2024, Stade de France, the women's 100 metres final. It was your day. Let me take you back now. You can have a listen to this and tell us how you're feeling as you hear this, because this is what millions around the world heard in the commentary of the women's 100 metres final.
Who gets out best? I think it's Julian Alfred powers away.
Oh, my God. It took me back.
That's a special
moment. Yes. Oh, my God. I don't want to get emotional. I just... like, life-changing, hearing that. And, like, I executed such a great race that day. I didn't know how far ahead I was. I just know that I was about to create history. And I know that something that my coach and I have been working on, just trying to work on different race plans and make it come together. And it came together at the right time. But hearing that right now, just going back to the feeling of just screaming and at the top of my lungs that I don't really do after races. I just feeling like, yes, I've finally done it. And it was such a relief, to be honest.
Alfred is the Olympic champion. Silver for Richardson of the USA. And Jefferson, USA, takes the bronze.
And to hear what millions around the world, in particular in St. Lucia, would have heard as well.
Oh my God. Yes.
That's quite something, isn't it? We're going to break the race down now because we've got it on our screens here. Let's take you back then. First of all, the semi-final.
because you set that time, 10.84, the fastest time coming into the final. Did that give you real belief, Julian, that you could win the Olympic
gold? Oh my God, it did. I mean, we had the semifinal of death, as most call it, with Shirley-Ann Fraser-Pryce, a line that would really change how the final was going to turn out. And with Shelly kind of dropping out, I'm not sure what exactly happened during that time. I just knew I had to go out there and execute the race plan. Instead of from the semifinal, and my coach told me to go out there and run this as you would have in the final as well and execute as well. And just listening to him and knowing that he's never failed me, not once. And sometimes, you know, we listen and we think our coach is crazy. Sometimes I think that what Coach Flo says to me, like he's a crazy man. But I just went out there and just tried to execute his race plan and what we've been working on. And the semifinal did give me a lot of confidence. I went back to the warm-up area and my coach said to me, it's not done yet. So you have one more round to go. You know, sometimes you, with Sha'Carri Richardson being the heavy favorite coming into the Olympics, I knew that I had to stay on my race plan and stay the course and just trust myself and know that we both have two legs. We both on the line together and the clock started at zero for both of us. However, the mentality that I had at the time is that I want it. I'm hungry for it. And that's exactly what I did and what showed on the track.
What happens in between then? Because you've got, what, an hour or so between that semi-final and final. What was going on for you?
So I was on top of the world during that time. However, my coach tried to calm me down. It was pouring as well. So I got on the table. I did a few strides. I got back in spikes. My coach and I had a talk. And he said to me, let's create history. Like, let's do this. And you've worked so hard to get to this point. I had to do it for him, especially Coach Flo. And I really want to mention that because earlier on this year, I was struggling. I was struggling mentally and also physically as well to just get back on the line because I felt that there was pressure after winning World Indoors. There was pressure knowing that, oh, now St. Lucians are watching me and now they're expecting so much of me. And he took me off the track. He took me off the track. He worked with me. We had one-on-one sessions during the Olympic trials, the U.S. Olympic trials, because I had no trials. So I went with him to Oregon to train and he worked with me every single day, reminding me of why I was here, reminding me of the talent that I had. And, you know, I'm truly grateful for Coach Flo. We don't really get to give our coaches much props, but to him, I will say thank you a lot because he has truly changed my life.
Yeah, incredible what he's been able to do then to put you in that position for the 100 metres final. Were you listening to music? What were you doing ahead of that?
So I was listening to music, most definitely. So I was listening to a song called Damn Proud Lucian. Proud of it, proud of it. Proud of it, proud of it. And also a reggae by Dejra Long. It's a reggae talking about me defeating US athletes and other athletes around the world and becoming St. Lucia's like first medal. With St. Lucia being in Olympic final for the first time ever and we have a great chance of getting gold, the song just spoke to us. I listen to that all the time, reminding myself and thinking of myself as an Olympic gold medalist. It don't matter where I voyage, it don't matter where I roam. Majestic beetles standing tall, they're guiding me back home. Raise your flags, the skies above. I can tell you all the way.
This is where we need to rewind and tell you how Julian Alfred found herself on the start line for the women's 100 metres final at the Olympic Games. Alfred's athletics journey began at primary school. She was racing at Ciceron RC Combined School in Castries, the St. Lucian capital, and her life could have taken a different direction if her talent hadn't been recognised by coach Cuthbert Modest, also known as Twatine.
It takes a champion to produce another champion. One more time, give it up for Twatine. Cuthbert Modest, my brother.
It was from Cicero's primary school. A teacher told me she have two athletes for me. I gave them shoes and clothes to run. Next day, one stay and one go. Then we had a summer camp. We training. So she got talent. So I start training her. Then now, she go home and she don't come back at all again. So I take my bus. I bring her back there, and from there, we start training. A humble child is a very, very good listener.
By grade six, when the children in Julian's class were asked what they wanted to be when they grew up, she said, the female Usain Bolt. However, following the death of her father when aged 12, Alfred took a break from sprinting and could have been lost to the sport completely if it wasn't for her childhood coach, Cuthbert Modest, who encouraged her to return.
When she left Jamaica, she wasn't training at all again. She had given up track and field. She told me that. She gave up because of problems, you know. So I tell her, do you remember my words when you were small? When the going get tough and the tough get going, keep on going. Don't stop. You know why? Stopping is not an option. She said, yes, coach, I remember that. You have trust in me? Yes. You believe in me? Yes. I tell her, keep on going. Let's go. Then we start training. With my own little finance, I used to bring her a Vuford to train. Castries, Vuford to train. And then now, she start getting good. The 60 meters, the boys cannot beat her. Fast boys cannot beat her. But after 60 meters, they're beating her. 100 meters training, I tell her, hello, we are ready. We're going to get a medal in the Youth Olympics. And from there, the coaches from America saw her and they invited her to their school. Sometimes she's in trouble. Tell me, coach, something went wrong. Something. I tell her, don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever you want, just contact me and I'll get it for you. And her father died. And I take care of her as a father. She took on me daddy twat, and I love her to the max.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear that. And you must be so, so proud then of what she has done. Now she is the Olympic champion.
Well, I feel great. I feel that I was the happiest man alive. You know why? Because from small, the age of 9, I went to competition with her. And I told the guys that this is my champion, my Olympic champion. And when she won the gold, Jamaica called me. They tell me they remember me a couple years ago when she was small.
That's Cuthbert Modest, Julian Alfred's childhood coach before she took the big step to develop her talent overseas. First at the age of 14 in Jamaica, and then she would relocate again, this time to Texas, to train under Edric Florial, a two-time Olympian from Canada. And she showed great promise as a sprinter in National Collegiate Athletic Association events in the United States. Then she delivered St. Lucia's first medal at the Global Championships in March this year, when she won gold in the World Indoor 60 metres in Glasgow. Julian says that Coach Flo deserves the credit for helping her turn the pressure of having an entire country watching her into motivation to deliver.
Being on the line, knowing that a nation is watching, and from what I heard afterwards, or from what I saw, there were several watch parties around the island. If I knew that before, I think the race would have turned out a lot differently. But I think just me not knowing and being on social media during that time really helped me. But the turnout and the reaction from St. Lucians during that time was honestly, like, crazy. To this day, I can't believe, you know, I've done it. And I've made an entire nation proud and created history for my tiny island.
Are you trying to block all that out then? We're looking at pictures now of you just about to get into your blocks, but you've walked out at the Stade de France, you know, it's raining, you know, it's wet conditions. Are you taking in the noise? Because there was such a raucous atmosphere building up to the final.
Right. You know, something I was thinking of is like the rain. And it was pouring as well. And I was like, oh, my inner child is coming out because I ran in the rain as a child. And I looked at it as showers of blessing as well. But yes, I was listening to the sound around the stadium. I was present, and I saw the St. Lucian flags all over. There was a booth with the St. Lucians in there with the flags all over. So I was looking up at that. I was just so present and just thinking of what I had to do in the race to come out as the Olympic champion.
Looking at the lanes, you're in lane 6. You're in between Sha'Carri Richardson and Melissa Jefferson, the two Americans, your two big rivals. Are you happy with that position? Do you like your rivals where you can see them?
Yes, I do. I mean, you know, World Championship was something different. I mean, I was in the middle of the track as well, but I was between, like, legends. I think I was in between Talu and also Shelley as well. But I was so young, and after a long collegiate season, it was just, I just don't know what I was doing, and I was just out of this world. But I love feeling my competition. I love knowing what I'm doing, where I'm at in the race. And it was the same as the semifinal. I was next to Sha'Carri during the race, and I could feel her. You know, she's such a talent, and her topping speed is out of this world. So I think that her being next to me was something that I really liked, knowing that I could feed off of her, and knowing that my coach and I have been working on shifting my speed, and whatever she would shift, I would shift too. So it was something that I worked on.
So you're getting into your blocks now. And when we see you in your blocks then, you talk about visualizing, you know, what's possible. Were you getting into your blocks there thinking in just about 10 seconds time, I'm going to be the Olympic champion? Because you wrote that in your journal, didn't
I
you?
I did. But like I said, execution. So all I was thinking about, when I'm in the blocks, you know, I first started world championships in Oregon. All I was thinking is about react to the gun and don't anticipate the gun, because sometimes you get so anxious, like you want to win, yeah, but we have to listen to the gun first. So what my coach and I have been working on, listen to the gun, listen to the starter, and focus on just that only. Don't try to jump the gun, don't try to anticipate it, but rather just listen to the gun. So I was just thinking of that, thinking of my first step, pushing off the ground. And the first part of my race was something that I really had to set up and just not try to chase anybody down. It created a great thing for me.
So here we are, we're watching the start, we're watching you getting ready, the helicopters are whirring overhead, it's going quiet within the stadium, and then just talk me through that start then.
I had a great start. The thing about it, I used to stress my start so much, but now my coach tells me, it's not the best part of your race, like your start sucks anyway, so don't worry about it, because there's nothing that we can do. And something that stressed the first 60 as well of my race, that I feel like I have to be leading the first 60 meters, and that's going to make me win, but then the last 40, I fall apart. Actually, worked on different phases where I drive for about 30 meters, 35 meters now, and then work on a transition. The middle part of my race is where I shift, and then the latter part where I just try to stay open and go through the line, which has changed tremendously throughout this year. As compared to, if you watch Prefontaine, I fell apart the last part of my race as compared to Olympic final. But the first part is just, I wasn't in a great position. I wasn't behind. I had a great reaction. I think my reaction was 0.1415. But I had a great reaction. I was in there knowing that I have an advantage of the place I am in the race. I know I can shift and I know I can accelerate really well.
So this phase then, from you've got the lead there from 30 metres to 80 metres, is crucial then to remain solid. And,
yes.
And you certainly are. Look here, at that point there, that 50 metre point, are you thinking, I've got this?
Yes. No, my dry phase was, I think that was the longest dry phase I've ever had, if I'm being quite honest. But I think it set up the race perfectly. When I got to that 50 metre mark, I shifted. Like I said, I've been working on that for such a long time with Coach Flo, and it just comes naturally. I think that's for him to explain, because I don't know how I do it. Whatever he's worked on with me, it has worked. So I think the last part of the race was just for me to just stay open, don't panic, and just go through the line. But I did panic at the end of the race, because I felt like, oh, I'm about to be an Olympic champion, and let's get this over with.
So even though those 10 seconds, that's all going through your head.
Like, don't panic, stay open. Like I said, Shakari has such a great top end speed. And I'm thinking, what if she's coming? What if she catch me on the line? Because it has happened to me so many of the times where somebody catches me on the line. So I was just thinking, stay open, and then go through the line.
Here we go. Here's the moment. Through the line. And you're the Olympic champion. And there's that scream.
The scream.
What were you saying
yes,
there?
Yes. I was just screaming yes, because like I mentioned, so many years of sacrifice and hard work to get to this point. You know, being living my home at the age of 14, also coming to Texas. My first 2 years at Texas, I was injured. I didn't get to my full potential at Texas. And then so many times I went back to my room and I was just asking God, like, what's happening? Like, why is this happening to me? And I could not understand. And it just goes to show how much God is preparing me for what's to come. And then I showed my name.
Yeah, you're showing up Alfred right now.
I'm showing my name because I saw a few predictions of people just doubting me. And the thing about it, I am like to myself. I don't show my hands. I don't show my cards, as people will say. So my coach and I were working in the background. We knew what we had. We knew what I had to work on. And we visualized this race over and over again. And every time I got into the blocks or did something at practice, he'll tell me, see yourself in the race. Visualize your competitors next to you and see yourself at the start as well. So we worked on that over and over tirelessly in Monaco, because that's where we trained. And I was showing my name because people were doubting me. People were doubting my potential. Not many persons know about me or my tiny island of St. Lucia, 238 square miles with warming people and beautiful landscape. Not many persons know about us. So I think it was a great chance for me to put myself out there.
And here's the moment. You ring the bell inside the stadium. And as you say, you bring it out loud that here is St. Lucia on the world stage.
I'm here.
That's a special moment, isn't it?
I'm here now, yes.
Oh, fantastic. And to have that moment for your country as well, for you and for your country, is very special to have a first Olympic medalist, and it's the 100 metres, and it's gold.
And it's gold. Oh, my God. That was a chance to make my country known as well, not only myself. And for those who don't know St. Lucia, we're like mango-shaped. We're a mango-shaped island, 27 miles long, 40 miles wide. We're the only country named after a woman in the world. And then for them to get their first Olympic medal from a woman, it goes to say something. And now becoming a tourism ambassador, after putting my country on the map, and I'm just really hoping that I can use my platform as well to promote my country, let people know about the beautiful island that I'm from, and it's a chance to get people know about how beautiful our landscape is and what we have to offer in St. Lucia.
You are a trailblazer. How aware were you that you would be making history then?
Not that aware, if I'm being honest. And as mentioned, I've had so many disappointments. So sometimes I don't get my hopes too high on certain things. Yes, you should have faith in God and knowing that things are going to come through when it needs to. However, I feel like at that moment, yes, I had a great chance of winning. But if I don't, then that's okay, because I know that God has a plan for me.
Has it always been a goal of yours, though, to be the first?
Yes, it has been. I mean, I spoke to Olympics sometime last year during Texas Relays, and I said to them that I wanted to be St. Lucia's first gold medalist. And it came a year later. I didn't know when it was going to come, but it was a dream of mine to just be the first for St. Lucia.
You're listening to a Sports World special, Julian Alfred, The Race of My Life, with me, Lee James. Julian Alfred made history in Paris, and there are not many who know exactly what she went through. But the American sprinter Dawn Harper-Nelson also has an Olympic gold medal in her collection. She won the sprint hurdles title at the 2008 Beijing Games, and then followed that up with a silver medal in the 2012 London Olympics. Dawn was part of our Sports World team building up to the race, and had told me it was going to be Sha'Carri Richardson's night.
You know, she had shown, I mean, such promise and such growth. It was really the growth that she had, you know, shown from world championships going into the Olympic year that, I mean, she had a lot on her shoulders, but she really showed that she was someone that was welcoming all of that. When you have that type of talent, you don't want to shy away. And so, you know, also being USA, very excited, you know, about that rivalry that was to come.
So it wasn't to be for Sha'Carri Richardson. How did Julian Alfred get the job done then? She told me that it was about visualizing her competitors and that game plan worked.
How she got the job done is understanding it wasn't just about when I get to the line. Beforehand, when she visualized, she had been visualizing this for months and months, if not years to come, right? When you get there, you're not questioning, am I capable? Will I get the job done? All the nerves, you cannot let those sink in. You have to be that beast when you get to the line. When you visualize, it's time to make that happen. And when the gun goes off, it is no holding back. And I will say the way that she jumped out of those blocks, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was stunning, but it was what you want because she showed, I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid of the moment. I want to put my country on the map, and that goal will be mine.
She held up her name afterwards. She said that she felt that people doubted her. It was some response, wasn't it, to that?
Yes. She talked about being the dark horse, but she said she welcomed that, right? She said, I enjoy being the dark horse because if you don't know about me, you won't see me coming. You underestimate me. Ripping that bib off and putting it up said, you will no longer question Julian Alfred. You will no longer question St. Lucian. I mean, we are here and we're not going anywhere because she's so young. So years and years to come.
10:72 then in Olympic final. How good was that performance?
She gave the people what they wanted. I mean, she really, really did. She said she wanted to make her coach proud, but to go out there and do it in that fashion, it goes down in the history books. Yes, she won gold, but it's how she won gold. To be honest, she dominated that final from the first step to the last. You saw her pull away from the field and everyone was just like, give it to him. It was so exciting.
We heard a lot from her about the joy and the sacrifices she's had to go through as well. She left her home at an early age, and now she's beating her competitors like Sha'Carri Richardson. It takes a lot, doesn't it, to break down those barriers and to win a nation its first Olympic medal?
It truly does, because as she mentioned, being away from her country, think about it, as a child, home is where you often find your identity, your comfort when things don't go right. But to be away from that, and for her country to see that she was a talent that they would invest in and believe in for years and years and years into the future, that's a lot to carry as a child, to miss your family, but to find a family. And you saw that Coach Flo, he sacrificed so much, not just herself, but wanting to make him proud. So she was doing it for so many people. And she said, I want people to know about St. Lucia. We're small but mighty country. And she proved that.
I was on the phone with her, working through contractions.
For CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's baby.
Something was off.
There was somebody out there who's faking pregnancies.
There had been other victims scammed by the same person.
We don't want any other doulas to go through this.
The Con, Caitlin's baby, available now.
From the BBC World Service, I'm Lee James, and you're listening to Julian Alfred, The Race of My Life, how winning Olympic gold changed the life of a sprinter and her Caribbean island of St. Lucia. As soon as you land at St. Lucia's Huonora International Airport, it becomes clear how much this small Caribbean nation feels about its hometown hero, Julian Alfred. A huge poster of the sprinter now sits in the arrivals hall, greeting visitors to this island paradise. The official tourism board made her the face of its marketing campaign, and it's inviting visitors to explore St. Lucia like an Olympian.
I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know what to expect from my people, my St. Lucia. I didn't know what to expect from them.
Are we ready?
Oh my God. Stepping off the plane, just seeing everybody so welcoming, awaiting me, awaiting my arrival, and the medals that we won. I mean, now not only people know about St. Lucia, but they know that not only they know the name St. Lucia, but know about the people and how welcoming they are. It just goes to show how hospitable that we are as people.
St. Lucia has a population of less than 200,000. It's sent athletes to the Olympic Games in disciplines from athletics, swimming and sailing since they first participated in 1996 in Atlanta. But the nation had never seen anyone stand on the podium until Julian Alfred. So when she returned with her 100 metres gold and 200 metres silver won in Paris, it was a big deal.
St. Lucia, the moment we've been waiting for is finally here. Our Olympic champion, Julian Alfred, is coming home, and we're celebrating in grand style. September 24th, our exciting motorcade will pass through your community via the East Coast Road from Huonora International Airport to Groseley. September 25th, all schools will celebrate her remarkable achievements at the Super Mini Stadium.
Before the Diamond League final, I decided to take some time, train, and then go to the Diamond League final. After the Diamond League final, I went back to Austin. Take some time to just get myself together and prepare for what's to come in St. Lucia, because I didn't know, but my agent tried to warn me that it's going to be something crazy. He prepared me for that. It was truly a lovely sight.
Let's come together to honor and celebrate our national hero. It's more than a celebration. We're radiating with national pride. I am a town proud Lucia.
Represent the land where you're from. Hello, my name is Dr. Eurelise Delaire, and I am the acting permanent secretary in the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports in St. Lucia. I think it's the biggest event for St. Lucia, and naturally it is the first time that we've been represented at such a high level. And so we were all looking forward to it. It was almost like inevitable, you know, that this must happen. Julian must come home and St. Lucians must celebrate with her, because this was not just a win for Julian. It was a win for St. Lucia, the entire nation, and even for the Caribbean, because there were celebrations in the Caribbean, in the diaspora, everywhere you get St. Lucians and so on. And I think generally in the region, everybody was just happy. And so, you know, it was just overwhelming support for Julian Alfred.
I am proud to say that I am a St. Lucian because of Juju. Julian Alfred, thank you so much.
I'd like to just say about I'm really excited for Julian Alfred to come in. And look, everybody here is representing Julian Alfred, celebrating and having a lot of fun today.
Be careful on the road out there.
Alfred toured the island in a motorcade with tens of thousands of people coming out to catch a glimpse of her as she waved to the crowd with the national flag draped around her. Here's Eurelise Delaire again.
From the time Julian landed in St. Lucia, the celebration began. She was met at the tarmac by cabinet, by international media, by students, members of her club in St. Lucia. We had this ceremony on the airport, and then we had the motorcade, which took us 5 hours to get from one point in St. Lucia to the next, because everybody wanted to see her, to feel her, to touch her. She had to stop in every community, get off the vehicle, get off the car, get onto the road, and everybody was on the streets, you know, waiting just to wave or catch a glimpse of Julian, you know, passing through the communities. A trek that would take 1 hour took us at least 6 hours to get from the Southern Island, from the airport to the north. And the following day, we went into the school's rallies. We had two rallies, one on the west and one on the east coast of St. Lucia, and all the students, all schools were represented, and, you know, there were performances depicting, you know, the wide spectrum of St. Lucia's culture, and all the students from pre-K to college students were present. The following day, there was another school's activity where a mural was unveiled of Julian. That's where she, her primary school, and also in the community that she was raised. This was epic. I mean, it was huge, and everybody turned out, and, you know, the entire cabinet showed up and invited guests, and it was beautiful.
You are going to be a doctor, be the best doctor there is in the world. If you're going to be a carpenter, dream to be the best carpenter in the world. If you're going to be a musician, dream of being the best musician in the world. The mural speaks to that. Whatever you're choosing in life, whatever you want to pursue, dream big. And Julian says to us, she can come from Monkey Tongue, but she can conquer the world.
The Caribbean nation has gone all out to celebrate Alfred's achievements. That includes a National Julian Alfred Day on September 27th, when a capacity crowd attended a free concert at the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground, a stadium named after another famous sporting St. Lucian, and probably the only other person who knows what Alfred is going through after making history, winning cricket's T20 World Cup for West Indies.
Such a proud moment. I had an opportunity to watch it on TV, and I just find myself bawling with tears, you know, but it was happy tears, you know, just to understand what the moment meant, you know. Throughout my career, it was Darren Sammy, most of the time West Indies, you know. Some people still think West Indies is one big place, but for Julian to put us on the map and her story and the way she did it, you know, it was such a proud moment for me. And when the Jamaicans do it, we all in the Caribbean celebrate, and I'm pretty sure it's the same as St. Lucia.
And you've got a public holiday, a day named after you now.
Yes, I did.
What did you do on Julian Alfred Day?
What did I do? We had a concert in St. Lucia where we celebrated lots of local artists, lots of different foods. There were awards given, people donated to my foundation in St. Lucia, Corporate St. Lucia. So many different things happened, but the concert, the national holiday and a concert was all I needed. Like, I enjoyed myself. I haven't been to a concert in such a long time, actually. But to be able to get one on a day and a public holiday named after me is truly great.
So there's all the speeches, all the formal things. You got to party as well, though, then?
No, I didn't. Well, actually, yes. To me, that's a party.
Okay.
To me, I get to enjoy myself after a long season, get to enjoy, you know, my success in my island. And I mean, what a better way. They did such an amazing job in St. Lucia. And that's why I will always love my people and always love my country, St. Lucia.
For those of you who held your breath in anticipation, for those of you who cheered from every corner of the island, to those of you who waited for 10.72 seconds to witness history in the making, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the homecoming concert on this day, Julian Alfred Day. Welcome home, Julian. We love you. Thank you.
At least 12,000 persons came to the facility, the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground, to celebrate with Julian. And she addressed the nation. She addressed, in fact, at all the events, she addressed the crowd and the gathering. And she spoke from her heart, which was important to us, you know. And it was very emotional for her. And likewise, the audience, persons there, it's like tears of joy were just rolling down the cheeks of everybody. It's like we were just so overwhelmed with just seeing her and what she had done for the country. You know, we really appreciated, you know, this performance.
Let us welcome our island treasure, our global ambassador, our nation's pride, the inspiration of a generation, the embodiment of strength, speed, spirituality, and substance, lightning on the track, a beacon of excellence, St. Lucia. Welcome to make her remarks, our Olympian, Miss Julian Alfred.
We love you, Julian.
To begin, I didn't want to speak tonight because I really want to speak from the heart. The past few days on island have been very emotional for me.
It was something that I didn't see myself doing, if I'm being honest, knowing the kind of person that I am. I'm introverted. And if it's not training, I'm at home, just relaxing and just taking it in. And I like to perfect my craft, and I'm truly just track and field, track and field, track and field. But since winning the Olympic gold and like two medals for St. Lucia, the way how my life has changed and the things that I have to do now, such as going around the island, as you mentioned, talking to the youth of the country, talking to different people, I have changed in ways that I never saw myself doing or being, such as doing public speaking. I feel like sometimes I do struggle with that, but being able to do that on island and being able to encourage so many different people and just see my impact on an island.
It was a bit overwhelming then to see all that.
Oh my God, it was. It's like, how did we get here? You know, just young Julian, and you know, I left St. Lucia at the age of 14, and then seeing myself now, 23 years old, as an idol in St. Lucia, an inspiration to so many in St. Lucia, like I said, life-changing. And it's overwhelming to just sit there and think about how my life has changed.
It's no surprise Julian was left a little speechless when the St. Lucian Prime Minister, Philippe J. Pierre, took to the microphone at the celebration concert to show just how much she means to the nation.
Is from Cicero. I know tonight you want me to tell you what Julian is giving. We give it up. Yes or no? You like to give up everything. I want to give up the pitons.
Alfred's face will feature in a series of exercise books. There'll be a stamp designed in commemoration. And the Prime Minister had some more gifts to bestow upon her.
We will name the Millennium Highway from Kalvisak to Ratchak Roundabout the Julian Alfred Highway. We'll construct a monument at the Kalvisak Roundabout in honor of Julian Alfred. The government will give her a piece of land measuring 10,720 square feet. And most of all, she will get from the people of St. Lucia $1 million.
She really deserved whatever it is we put up for her. But what was also important for me is Julian wanted a lot of those contributions to go to her foundation, where she can help underprivileged children and athletes. And most of the contributions she asked that to be put that into the foundation. And so, you know, so it was not just to give to Julian, it was giving back to the community, really. And we're just hoping that this contribution, this generosity would remain, you know, in the next few years to develop more athletes so we can have some more Julian in St. Lucia.
Really bringing the country together then, what she did.
Yeah, it was bigger than any ceremony that we've had, any homecoming. All St. Lucians wore their national colors, whether they came to the activity or not, but the whole country was painted in blue, white, black, and yellow. And she brought back this togetherness, the peace, sense of community for us, you know. There was just a calmness to the nation, a celebratory calmness. I don't know if you understand, where all young people, older folks, they were there. They had their flags and persons, you know, it just showed us, you know, how patriotic we can be. And for us now, when you hear the national anthem, it was like, you know, it has a greater sense of meaning for us now and purpose. Because when we saw our flag being hoisted at the medal presentation and we heard the St. Lucian anthem, that was very touching for us. And most persons will tell you that, you know, they watched that ceremony with tears in their eyes, you know, because the anthem had never sounded so good before. It was just epic.
An island can be united for one person, putting their differences aside to come together and, you know, celebrate. It was truly inspiring to see.
Has it changed you at all, being Olympic champion?
Yes. I have to do a lot more formal things now. I have to do public speaking as well. And now becoming a tourism ambassador, like I said, promoting my country and its beautiful landscape and talking about it more often, allowing people to know who I am and also where I'm from is what I'm doing now, because not many persons know about us, as mentioned. So getting a chance to promote my beautiful island, St. Lucia, is what I'm doing now.
And what about the tangible legacies? We spoke to the sports minister after your victory.
Sports minister for St. Lucia, Kenson Casimir.
The rest of the world is shocked, but every St. Lucian knew that this was going to happen. As a government, we invested over $200,000 in our last budget to this one athlete. And so to use a poker metaphor, we just laid all our chips on the table, investing in a training in Houston, investing in her physical therapy. And so we went all in, and we are very, very happy that we've reaped this reward.
What do you think this can do then? You've told us the investment has been put in. What can this do for St. Lucia then, and for sport in St. Lucia now? Can you build on this?
Absolutely. We have every desire to build on this. We had a Olympic standard stadium that was transitioned into a hospital after we had a tragic incident in 2009, where we had a fire at a hospital, and the government of St. Lucia have indicated that they finally secured financing to have this facility rebuilt to the standard that we need to produce some more Julian Alfred.
Absolutely, and I think I've got a very good name I could suggest for that stadium further down the line, Minister.
Do you think that can happen?
Most definitely. I mean, now we have the youth looking up to me, and the youth want to be just like me, so I'm sure that the government of St. Lucia is looking forward to putting to building a new stadium. The fastest woman in the world. St. Lucia, we just take the gold. To the 100 or 200. She faster than you, St. Bolt. She faster than you, St. Bolt.
Dawn Harper-Nelson, the Olympic sprint hurdles champion, is back with us. What will Julian's Olympic gold medal now do for women's sprinting after she upset the order for the first time in 20 years? A Jamaican didn't win the 100 metres gold, and it will be at least 32 years before the United States has won the Olympic 100 metres gold. So how do her rivals respond?
It keeps it exciting because, you know, okay, Jamaicans have been winning and there was a rivalry between Jamaica and US. But someone said before, is it a rivalry if someone is seeming to dominate? And she threw in a crazy wrench into all of this. She mixed it all up. And it showed, again, that never count yourself out. You can think that someone or some country is dominating, but if you know what you have, if you know what you're capable of, and you create a team that she has of, I mean, everyone that supported her, I mean, you don't have to question yourself or doubt. The moments that you saw of her crying after her race, to me, that put in perspective what that moment meant. So many times, you know, you see them at the line, they look like beasts. I mean, you're like, wow, they could rip a hole into something. But afterwards, it shows that I was nervous. I knew that dreams do not have to come true. There are so many odds stacked against everyone out there, not just one person. Everyone there has overcome so much. But still, when that gun goes off, it doesn't have to happen. I think that she just really showed that, listen, put it all out there. Yeah.
Is she now the woman to beat then? When she lines up for major meets next year's World Championships, is it about Julian Alfred now?
There's no question if it's about Julian Alfred, because also she's so young. She is truly a baby in this sport. She did so well in college, but now to come out, we see that can be a rocky transition for a lot of athletes. And because you're now racing against people that this is how they eat. And so they take that to the line, but she walked into that very confident. And I think that, yes, this right here says that Julian, she's not afraid of anything. If she's done it on the biggest stage, everything else, yes, nerves will come, but she's learned how to manage those. And when someone learns how to manage the emotions and they know they're capable, I just say it's a problem for everyone else that steps to the line.
So does Sha'Carri Richardson, the Americans, the Jamaicans come back, or are we looking at a period perhaps of dominance from Alfred?
That's the problem. With the sprints, you can never say dominance. I mean, you can say she is the one to look out for, the one to beat. But to just say that she has it, that is just extremely hard to put that on anyone. Because even when Shelly-Ann Fraser won consistently, she's winning, when everyone still was like, but someone else could come in, someone else could beat her. That's the beauty of the sport of track and field. No one within this 10 point whatever seconds, it's all just hands up, games on, let's go.
And do you like the way that she said, yes, I'm here for the Challenge Los Angeles. I'm looking at double, 100 and 200.
Yes. And you know, Gabby Thomas is like, oh, you're coming for the 200. But any true competitor doesn't want anything handed to them. They don't want it to just say no one else showed up. You know, I literally ran in lane 5 by myself. No, they want the other lanes to be full of very capable and qualified people. That's what you test yourself against, the world. You don't want to go out there and make it easy. I want to rise to the occasion when so many people have crumbled and when the world is watching. That's what makes champions.
Julian Alfred became the Olympic 100 meters champion in Paris. We've heard how she ran the race of her life at the Stade de France and has inspired her nation of St. Lucia. But what will that gold medal do for her? Psychologically, would it feel different when she lines up next time in a major championship? Now she is the Olympic champion.
Until I step on the track next year, God's willing, I would know how it feels. After being the Olympic champion in this year and attending Zurich and Brussels, it was completely different. And when I went to Zurich, I was a lot more relaxed, knowing that I've done the big one. I have gotten to my goal. I have achieved this for the year. And it's time for me to relax. It wasn't that serious. However, after I lost in Zurich, I'm not going to lie, I cried. And I like coming from a place of deficit, to be honest, because it makes me feel hungry. But I went into Brussels, the Diamond League final, knowing that, nevertheless, even winning the Olympics, I still want more. There's so many things that I haven't achieved yet, and I think that's how I'm going to approach each race next year. Like, I'm still hungry for more things. You know, we have World Championships next year in Japan, just looking forward to that, and just knowing that I haven't achieved anything yet in terms of World Championships. We're trying to get more accolades in that field.
So you still got those ambitions, those plans to look ahead, even if we look ahead at Los Angeles as well, to repeat, yes?
Yes, I mean, that's the goal, going to LA and trying to get at least 2 gold medals. I'm going to put it out there. I mean, I'm trying to manifest it that way as well. But trying to get 2 gold medals, working on that 200 as well. So looking forward to that.
Okay, so that's in the future. Tell us what's the best thing, though, about being an Olympic champion?
Oh, my God. The best thing? Wow. There are so many things I could think of. But one of the things I can really speak on is the love that I receive from a lot of people. The love and support that I've been receiving. And how many people have reached out to me and tell me, you know, how much I inspire them. And being able to do that, with it being a goal of mine, I'm happy that I'm able to do that and inspire and talk about God's word and talk about my journey, talk about my story. So just being able to have an impact on a lot of people, the future generation of St. Lucia as well, I think that's truly the best part for me.
Well, Julian, it's been a pleasure spending some time with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. That's okay.
Searching for salvation now, and I just feel so honored to just wear, you know, my country's name across my chest and just be an ambassador.
Look on her name now, them can't touch the venue. You're ahead of the game, man. Oh, thank you, Juju.
I was on the phone with her, working through contractions.
For CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's baby.
Something was off.
There was somebody out there who's faking pregnancies.
There had been other victims scammed by the same person.
We don't want any other doulas to go through this.
The Con, Caitlin's baby, available now.